God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. Exodus 35 is the account of God's giving instruction to those who would help with the magnificent tabernacle that was to be built for the Lord God Jehovah. This was a ragtag collection of slaves who had escaped from Egypt, and so really it wasn't a ragtag collection of slaves. These were free people. Now, as you think about all these people and all they contributed to this fabulous tabernacle, some silver, some gold, some their skills that they had to make this tabernacle what God intended it to be, I wonder, had these people ever been involved in a project like this before, a building project of great proportions? Well, of course, the answer is yes. These were the people that Pharaoh had as slaves to build his treasure cities and perhaps other things, maybe even the pyramids. So what differences would have existed between the work God's people did for Pharaoh and the work God's people did for God? Well, in Egypt, the work was stationary. Pyramids don't move. Of course, the tabernacle did. It was mobile. In Egypt, they were building large structures for basically for the purpose of maintaining immortality, which the Egyptians sought, and it was to false gods. Of course, the tabernacle was to the true and living God. In Egypt, these slaves had learned their skills from the Egyptians, and in the building of the tabernacle, these skills were given by God. Exodus 31 says of Bezalel that God said, "I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." So these were skills that God himself had given to these people in order to serve him. So what's the difference between a slave and a servant? A slave in Egypt and a servant of God. Well, a slave is known by his lack of choice, not by his lack of money. Here's someone serving God in some capacity, and they say, "Boy, this is slave labor. We're not getting any money for this." No, a slave is known by his lack of choice, not by his lack of money. And God provides for those who serve willingly. There are two major elements in any great work for God: willingness and wisdom. In Exodus 35:5, God said, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord." Now, that's a concept you find through the rest of this chapter. In verses 21 and 22 and 29, among others, you find this very important concept of a willingness. Not because you have to. Let him not give grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 10, we find a second element, not just willingness, but wisdom. "And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded." We know that this wisdom was skill in craftsmanship, skill in construction, skill in metalsmithing, and so on. And we know that, at least for some of these, that God was the one that had directly given them these skills. So a slave is not distinguished by his lack of money, but by his lack of choice. God doesn't want you to serve him because you have to. God wants you to serve him because you want to. We owe it to him. God gives the wisdom. We give the willingness. We're to worry then about willingness, for God will provide the wisdom. When you give self, God provides everything else. These people, God is the one that had provided the wherewithal. God is the one that provided the resources, and God simply wanted them to provide the willingness. Today, don't be a slave in the sense that you're doing what you're doing merely because you have to. Be a servant of the Most High God, realizing that the only thing that you can give him that he did not give you first is a willing heart of gratitude and service.